Ah, the first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Welcome to the Strictly Anonymous Podcast. Conversations with online strangers. We place ads online.
Craigslist is definitely the gift that keeps on giving.
Real people respond.
You go to Singapore or Thailand. You can't not do it. The temptation is just too much.
Real problems.
Does your friend know that you're banging her?
No, he has no idea.
And anything goes.
Motto of the show, let your grief flag fly.
Probably the only good advice I'll ever give you is to rehide your whips and chain.
Here are your hosts, Kathy Kay and Tommy.
Hey, welcome to Strictly Anonymous Podcast with your host, Kathy, or me, Kathy, the host. I suck at this intro, and I will always suck at this intro. So welcome to my podcast. Today we have on the call John and Stephanie. Remember John and Stephanie, the guy that lets his wife fuck all these people? I've had him on more than anyone. He's probably my longest regular that I have on the show. I lost touch with him for a while. And now I know why, because some shit has gone down between John and Stephanie, and you're going to hear all about that on the call today. If you want to subscribe to the podcast, please do. If you like the podcast, I mean, subscribe to it. Also write a review. I haven't asked for that in a long time. I love reviews. I don't pimp myself out enough and try to make this shit happen, but I need reviews because they always help. And, I think I only have like 25, and I have a lot more listeners than that. So try to write a review if you can. That'd be really great, and I would really appreciate it if you like the show. If you hate the show, you could write me an email and tell me what you fucking hate about it. I love emails too, and I love listeners' two cents a lot. I have a couple guys that email me all the time, like the typical ones, but I love to hear from everybody. So if you also, you know, if you're too shy or you don't want to write a review and you just want to send something to me personally, send it to strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com. You could buy my book. I wrote a book. Basically like a bunch of love gone very wrong stories. That's like the tagline of the book. It's called The Cartoon Adventures of a Total Train Wreck. It's very funny. It's a very easy read. I think it's super smart, and like I said, an easy read. And I think guys would like it too, besides girls, even though it's like a girl's perspective of, you know, crazy relationships. It's basically my losing my virginity story until I turned 40 and every relationship or whatever you want to call it in between. And so like, if you feel bad about yourself or you're in a middle of a terrible relationship, just read my stories. It'll make you feel, it'll make you feel better when you see what I've gone through. But I've learned lessons from everyone. And if you read the whole thing, you'll see how I think that shit goes down. Anyway, so also if you want to be on the show, I've had Alyssa last week or 2 weeks ago. I had the Brazilian girl on. I loved her. She was a listener of the show and she wrote in. And I had her on. I love to have all kinds of people on with all kinds of topics. I know there's like a lot of topics of SEX on the show. And sometimes I feel like, oh, if someone just saw the title, they think like what a dirty pig show it is. But it really isn't. I don't think so. I just like talking to people about their problems. And I think sex is always interesting because people don't want to talk about it. And it's what people are doing. So that's why we have a lot of sex on the show. But I like to talk to people about anything. So if you have any kind of problem and you want to call into the show, send me an email at strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com. And I think that's it. You can follow me on Twitter at Cartoon Therapy. You could like my Facebook page, but nobody fucking likes it because I don't really go on there. And that's that. I wish Facebook would just go dead already. It's so lame. So I don't really go on there that much. And that's it. So, you know, stay tuned. I have John on. Basically, like I said, he has an update. A couple things have gone down. They're in this weird place. I'm not going to give it away. I've already done the call, I know. But, you know, why not just take a listen and then you'll find out. So stay tuned for John and his update on, you know, him and his wife swapping sessions. Be right back.
Do you have a story, lifestyle, or situation you can't talk about to anyone, Or do you just want to let your freak flag fly and be on the show? Well, Strictly Anonymous wants to hear from you. Send us an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com, with your story and your anonymous name. And remember, everything is strictly anonymous. Strictly anonymous.
Hello.
Hey, hi, Kathy. It's John.
John, I feel like I haven't talked to you in so long. It's been like, first of all, I haven't even talked to you in the year 2015, right? That's for sure.
So happy New Year.
Yeah, happy New Year. I mean, people have wrote me wondering what the hell's going on with you. I don't even know what's going on with you because when you sent me an email and said you wanted to call in, I was like, why don't you not even tell me so it's a surprise? But now I don't know like where the call is going. So why don't you start off by giving me like a synopsis of everything that's, because you said things were changed. Like, give me sort of a synopsis of what's going to go down on the call and then we'll get into it.
Sure. And I hope that I'm not going to dash a lot of your listeners' fantasies and all that kind of stuff about like all this wonderful stuff that we got going on here, because it's really taken a turn in the opposite direction.
Oh, that's what I like. No. I
so
find that
I'm finally there. So.
Okay. What happened?
Should I start with the end and then go back to the beginning, or like, I'm trying to figure out the right way to do this.
I mean, I personally think that we should start, like, I mean, basically we all know what the end is, right? Somehow things went south, right? And you guys aren't maybe in the best place. But how did you get there? Like, so where are you now? Like, what?
Well, right now we are, Stephanie is returned to God.
Oh, God. She's one of those? Why, she's been in God, into the God thing before?
Well, she was a very religious person up until, like, college. Like,
all right. I remember that. Yeah. Okay. So now she's back on God. But a lot of, like, addicts, like, I don't know, they find God at some point in their life.
Well, yeah, and it's kind of a, everything we've been doing is just horrible. And we've lost God, and we need to get back to God. So not only is all the stuff we were having fun with ancient history, but we're not even having sex at the moment.
Oh, God. Because of God?
In order for us to get back together as a couple, then I need to find God. So.
Oy. Well, okay, how did you get, what was the last scenario, like, of, like, swinging or whatever you want to call it?
No, what had happened was I kind of liken it to, I mean, Stephanie's kind of a excitement junkie. Things had to get more and more and more involved, and it was kind of a struggle to kind of do that, and I didn't even forget what we talked about at the last call, but she was also figuring out, we were figuring out, but she was figuring out that, you know, she is a amazingly hot woman, and, you know, she's a very special kind of sexual experience for anybody, and people seem to be wanting to pay her a lot of money, so she should just make a lot of money.
Right.
There's like an independence thing in there, too. It's like, you know, hell, I always wanted to build my own money, well, I'll just do it this way. Right?
Okay.
For a lot of weeks, she was basically a prostitute. You know,
I have to say, you guys kind of dabbled in that a little bit, because you had, like, you know, for people that haven't listened to the other calls, like, you guys were, like, basically were, like, a married couple, married for a lot of years, and then you guys started, like, sort of, she liked to fuck other guys, and you liked to watch, and she had a thing for black guys that were really well hung, and she did all that. And then eventually somehow you bumped into like an older man with a lot of cash, and he paid for it. And then you guys started to do that a little bit. So then eventually she just crossed over and was like, she's going to do that all the time.
Yeah. So my job basically became, you know, find her guys that pay her a lot of money.
And what did you do? Advertise on Craigslist?
Yeah. Advertise on Craigslist. But there was a couple of times where, I mean, listen, I reached back out to the owner of that sports team, and so I said, hey, she's, you know, ready to meet with you every couple of weeks for if you continue to pay her. And because of him, she had a couple of paid nights with a couple of those athletes. Mm-hmm. Stuff. So there was a little bit of a, you know, didn't have to advertise, but it was, you know, again, sort of in that category of new, exciting, and different. You know, I kind of went to work to, you know, find people, find guys.
And you would watch? You
know, no, I wouldn't. That's part of the problem. Because it just became, you know, I'd find somebody that would, you know, would pay a lot of money and have her for a couple of hours. And, you know, all I would do really is drop her off, get the stories, and that was pretty much it. And it became a lot less, you know, we're enjoying this together, is more like, you know, and she even, by the way, she even started doing things like, you know, since I, as her man, you know, want her to have sex with other guys, well, then just she'll get paid for it. And it became, it wasn't really fun anymore, right? It was more, okay, and there's a little bit of, you know, listen, she told me some stories that were, you know, that, you know, I do find excitement in the stories, so it wasn't completely horrible.
But why were you not allowed there? Because, like, the guys were paying just for her. It was like, that's how it was set up?
Yeah, the guys were paying to have sex with her, and there were a couple of guys that were like, oh, okay, well, you can be there, but I'm going to pay less money.
Right.
Or I'm not going to pay. You know, if it's for your enjoyment, then why am I paying for it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it more became, you know, just sort of me being her pimp.
Right.
And
you had no problem with that?
Well, I didn't. Again, it was just kind of happening, you know? And it was kind of like, I tell you what, there was still an element of excitement of taking her, you know, her head cropped off, you know, hot bikini body and sending it around having guys go, oh my God, I'd pay a ton of money to be with her.
And what about this? Like, what about when she'd come home from, like, turning a trick or, what, like, you know, she fucked another guy? Was there a turn-on for you then as well?
There always is.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, at first it was like, well, tell me about it. It started getting, like, a little rote. Oh, well, you know, she didn't really want to tell me about it, or it's like she was telling me about it in like, a... in almost like a bored way.
Right, like was she even was she even into these dudes, or was she just doing it for the cash?
It was definitely turning into doing it for the cash. A lot of these situations were, she was saying that these, you know, these people weren't like, oh my God, I get to have sex with you. It's like I paid for it, so I own you. And so she was a piece of meat, and you know, do this, do that, or you know, just, and she found herself a lot of times just kind of lying there and having, you know, they're doing whatever they wanted to do, or they would say, oh, why are you lying there? You know, move around. Oh, you know, they were using her as a prop,
right? Mm-hmm.
As opposed to a sexual partner. And so, but she was getting paid for it. So she's like, okay, that's what I was doing.
How much was she charging?
Oh, never less than like $1,000 for an hour or two.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a couple that, you know, like, 2-3 hours or overnight that were a lot of money. It's $2,500, $5,000, that kind of number.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. You know, so we didn't cheap her. And believe me, when you start getting into this, so there, you know, I was running into. You know, it's amazing. I mean, the number of dicks that I got emailed to me.
Dick pics.
You know, I can't. You can't even count them. And there was a million guys who were like, you know, give me, like, you're $20 for a hand job. I mean, just like.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's really hard to find, like, the guys with a lot of cash on Craigslist, but there are websites where women could go on and basically set up, you know, sort of a business for themselves where they, you know, where it's high class escorts. You know, they charge a lot of money. That's where a lot of porn stars advertise. There's a guy that calls in. Ray K, he hasn't called in either in a while, but he was always soliciting those kind of women, and he would pay big bucks for girls that you could see in porn, you know, famous ones, and they charge around that, and that's where people with that kind of money sort of go. Not so much to Craigslist, right? You're going to get people that are looking for, you know, $100 deal, maybe the most, $200.
Yeah, so, but for every, you know, $50 of the $100, you get one that's going to say, oh, I'm really excited by this. I'll pay whatever I need to pay.
Right.
You know, so it just meant sifting through a lot of that stuff, and I was very careful in a lot of the ads, just like, you know, this is a very unique, special opportunity, don't waste our time.
Did you look just for black guys, or would you fuck anything for the money?
Anything for the money.
Right, okay.
You know, and so, and by the way, because of that, there was more old white guys.
Right, uh-huh.
Because, I mean, you look at her, it's like an old white guy. It's a one-night stand with her, and he's got a lot of money. He, you know, he'll pay $5,000. He didn't care.
Right.
Because You know, and it's not like, you know, pay $200 for a hooker and she comes in 45 minutes and it's, I mean, this is billed as, you know, you're going to get what you pay for.
But women that are charging $1,000 or they're really hot. I mean, you're not getting garbage at that level. Money wise, I'm talking. I know guys with a lot of cash. They're not spending that much money. You know, you're getting like this guy that calls in. I mean, he gets like full fledged, you know, porn stars with big names that you would know that you watch on TV for like $1,500. Good news. Strictly Anonymous Podcast is looking for people to call into the show. So if you lead an interesting, naughty secret life that you want to talk about while remaining anonymous or not anonymous, if you're out and proud, that's cool too. Send me an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com. That's strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com, or go to my website, strictlyanonymouspodcast.com, and click on Be on the Show. If you have a short confession that you want to get off your back, call my confessions hotline, 347-420-3579. That's 347-420-3579. You could call that number 24/7. I change all the voices on the confessions too, so you remain anonymous. The number, the website, and the email address will all be in the description. For an hour.
But it's interesting because, again, Stephanie's got the cachet of she's not, even though we were getting into that, she's not a prostitute and she's not a porn star.
Mm-hmm. And she's someone's wife. Maybe they were getting off on the wife thing. She's someone's wife.
She's a dancer. She's a cheerleader. She's a, you know, she's got, you know, she's the, you know, the gorgeous woman you see in a restaurant that you'd love to be with, but they're married and they don't do this kind of thing, you know?
Okay.
And when she dresses up, man, I mean, she, you know, the room stops. You know, she, mm-hmm. if she puts on a, you know, mid-thigh skirt or she puts on spandex pants, a black tight top and walks through the room, I mean, the whole place stops. So, you know, when somebody, and you know, we meet somebody in a bar to talk about it, they see her and they're basically writing a check before she even sits down, you know. So it was, you know, and by the way, that still was, fun, right? Having like me being like in control of that was a lot of fun.
But it wasn't fun for her.
The chase was fun, right? And she always gets off on guys who think she's beautiful. She just loves that. She, you know, when people are like, "Oh my God, you're the most beautiful thing in the world," she just feels that
feeds her ego. Uh huh.
It totally feeds her ego. It was just kind of. It became different because, you know, I would take her to the hotel or we'd meet in the bar or whatever, and you know, it became like, okay, I'm cutting you a check, okay, come on. And it wasn't, what do we do? It was like, you know, this is what you're gonna wear, this is what you're gonna do, this is the position you're gonna be in, this is what you're
right.
You know, I'm not gonna use a condom, I'm paying too much money, you know, whatever. You know, it was you know, she was just basically there for their enjoyment and
mm-hmm.
Yeah, even when she would try to be the more assertive one in the encounter, she said that it wasn't a give and take. So she'd be like, "Oh, let me take care of you." Like, no, you know, these guys would be like, "No, you know,
right?
You know, get on your knees, you know, that kind of stuff."
Mm-hmm.
So what ended up happening was, you know, because obviously when you're doing this, you got to be a little careful because it's not really that legal.
Right.
You know, no matter what you say, she's an actress, she has companionship, whatever you do whatever you do, right?
Right.
But I got to admit, I got a little bit careless because I was getting a ton of these emails back, you know, $200, $300, you know. And so, I don't know, I just had this one where I was a little too fast to, well, if you want it for a couple of hours, it's, you know, it's $2,500 or don't waste my time. Kind of like right off the bat. And boy, they were really good at it. I mean, the back and forth was, you know, let me see some pictures and let me understand this. And there's a lot of what sounded like something very legitimate because of the dialogue, between, you know, back and forth until, you know, we went and met the guy.
Right.
And we met him at the lobby of a hotel, and he had a hotel room kind of thing, and it was playing out like everything else, and he was a big Italian guy. The only tip off to me was he seemed a little, the right word is, a little simple, but had a lot of money, without being
right.
Judgmental. But it just like he just didn't seem like the kind of guy who was just like, you know, $3,000 for a night of sex. But he played the part really well, and
But listen, there's a lot of guys out there that like, or a lot of people in general out there that have a lot of cash, and you'd never know it because, you know, it's not. And I think that people that work in certain places, like, you know, whether it's like a, because I have friends that have a lot of cash sometimes, and they just don't sort of give off that impression. And people, you know, if they go into stores or something, treat them a certain way, they're figuring they don't have a dime to their name, and they happen to have a lot of fucking cash, you know. So you can never judge someone. I once did a job where I was like, you know, meeting guys that own oil companies and produce companies, and these are like these, like they seem like blue collar guys, you know, and they're working in the middle of nowhere in this little tiny office, but they're making millions of dollars. So you never know who's got the cash by the looks of somebody.
I completely agree, and so I've known that all the time. But there was something. There's something different when somebody is, you know, heavily blue collar. They own a bunch of gas stations, whatever. There's still something about them.
Uh-huh.
Like a confidence or a power or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy just didn't have that, and so I was like, but you know, my little spidey sense was up, but I didn't do anything about it.
Right.
So after we talked for a while, we had a drink, you know, because I never would just let her go anywhere without making sure it was safe. So we all go up to the room that he's got in the hotel,
mm-hmm.
and so we go up to the room. You know, I kind of walk in. It's just your regular hotel room kind of thing, and he then pulls out the envelope of cash,
mm-hmm.
and just says something like, "Just okay, so I'm just confirming that I'm going to have sex with your wife for the next several hours. I will not keep her overnight, but next several hours until, you know, I feel like I've got my money's worth, and then you're going to come pick her up."
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Yes." And he looked at her and he said, "Right?" And she goes, "Oh, yeah." And then he handed me the envelope. And as soon, and he handed me the envelope, and he put a handcuff on my wrist.
What?
Right. He put a handcuff on my wrist.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so he was a cop.
He was a cop. Yeah, and he said.
Oh, they didn't even send a cop that looked like he had cash. They sent like a dirty cop. So stupid.
He wasn't dirty. He was just,
no,
yeah,
but
he
I mean,
like
you know, dirty. I mean, like just stupid. Like that's so dumb. What kind of investigative
he was not
cop move is
but,
that?
Yeah, and as soon as he did that, his partner comes out of the bathroom and starts cuffing her.
Right.
And they start reading us our rights and the whole, like, you know, you're being arrested for prostitution. You know, it's illegal in the state of Georgia. And they start doing all this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm like, I mean, of course, we're both kind of like, holy shit, you know, this is it. Like, you know, something's going to come to bite us in the ass. Well, it finally happened.
Right.
I kind of sit down in the bed and he's reading the rights. He's talking and he said, "Do you understand how these rights that I read them to you?" And I go, "Yeah." I go, "This is just," I said, "this is really, just really, really sad." And he goes, "Well, what do you mean?" And I said, "Well, because really all that's been going on is," and I told him the whole swinging and Stephanie and our relationship. I gave him like the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm not a pimp. I'm a successful businessman. She's not a prostitute. But at the same time, we believe in exchange of value. And why should someone just have sex with her without some return of value? So, you know, it's just like an exchange and it's for the companionship. It's really not what I see as prostitution. And I also don't think prostitution should be illegal anyway, because why is it? That whole thing, like, I'm just talking, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he goes, "Well, oh, wait. So you're an executive. What do you do? He asked me what I do, and he goes, "Oh, really?" He goes, "Well, like, do you have a website?" And I go, "Yeah." So he's like, he checks out, make sure my story was real.
About, oh, you mean
and
who
goes,
you were?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Right. I just had my phone. I had my website on my phone, so I just kind of show it to him. And then he goes, and he goes over, and like, look at this a minute. And he goes over. We're sitting like on the there's two different queen size beds, and we're both sitting on them, and you know, kind of looking at each other, going, "Holy shit!" And then he comes back, and he goes, "We're gonna let you guys go." I go, really? Well, thank you. Oh, he goes, not so fast. I said, but you're not, you know, what you did is illegal, and we're going to let you go. We're not letting you go for free.
Right.
So Stephanie, you're going to stay here, and me and my friend are going to do whatever we want with you for as long as we want.
Mm-hmm.
And then and when we're done, then we're going to call your husband. He's going to come back and get you.
Right, but they obviously took the money back, right? They got Stephanie for free, right?
They're going to get her for free, and that's what's going to let us off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's kind of quiet, and I just looked at Stephanie and go, Stephanie, listen, if I have to deal with this professionally, I can. I'm not going to, you know, have you have to go through that, to which she says, oh, no, I don't want, you know, I can't, my family, friends, nobody can know what's going on, so, you know, what the hell? I said, you know, with a couple more guys. I mean, she says that out loud in front of them, right?
Right.
So, and I said, okay. So they uncuffed us, and I left. Now, I mean, there was a little bit of a, you know, this was kind of exciting to me because a couple other things happened.
What do you mean?
You know, like I usually like to watch and stuff, right?
Right.
So, you know, when they said yes, you know, and they're like, okay, so she had taken off her handcuffs in there, and she goes like into the bathroom to go to the bathroom, freshen up, whatever, and I go to the front door, and like the one guy, who you know who had done all the negotiation, not the partner, was like, you have a very hot wife, all that kind of stuff. He goes, and believe me, this couldn't have played out any better for me. This is going to be good. Mm-hmm. And he's like, he's unbuttoning his pants, and he's got a raging hard on. Like he's so excited about this, and he had, you know, she's been with some big dicks. Probably wasn't the biggest, but it was a pretty damn big dick.
Was he a white guy or a black guy?
It was a white guy. Mm-hmm. Both these guys were like Italian guys.
Right.
And you know, he said stuff like, you know, and you know, she better be ready because this is going to take a while.
Mm-hmm.
And he said stuff like that, right? So, you know, I had the vision there then of, you know, like she's going to have to deal with that thing. And this very aggressive guy who's very excited, and then his buddy who stole his pants on, kind of in the middle of the room, was, yeah, you know, guys do, like, kind of grabbing his crotch, going, you know, this is going to be great.
Uh-huh.
So,
and that turns you on.
That does turn me on, you know. Mm-hmm. I left the room, and I definitely hung out for a while, right?
Right.
Like by the door, they didn't know this, but I could definitely hear. I could hear a lot. I mean, it's, you know. There was a lot of,
Oh my God, imagine you got busted by somebody else walking out of a door and see you, like, with your ear up on a hotel room door.
Well, I was careful. I was kind of standing there. When people came in the hallway, I, like, would walk up and down the hallway for a minute. So,
right.
It too obvious. Although I know most hotels have cameras, so I'm sure somebody somewhere was watching me.
Right.
But, yeah, I didn't look like a...
No, I'm just saying, if somebody, you know, somebody just walked out, it'd be kind of funny. I'd just be afraid someone would see me.
So, you know, I heard a lot of the action, and I heard, you know, like they were slapping her a little bit, like in the ass and stuff, and there was definitely, you know, when somebody is screwing somebody hard, I mean, you can hear it, you can hear the bed, you can hear, you know, the bodies against each other, and, you know, she tends to be loud. I think she was trying not to be, because she wasn't really as into it as she normally would be, but you know, she was making some noise. They were certainly making noise. So,
right.
Yeah, you know, it was. I got a little vicarious enjoyment from that experience.
Right. Mm-hmm. Is that what turned her around to God?
Well, yeah. Well, there's more.
Right.
So anyway, so I come back to get her. You know, a couple hours later, I leave. I didn't want them to call me. I had my phone ring and then hear it in the hallway. Mm-hmm. So I kind of go downstairs and have a drink and whatever. And then they were probably with her for like 3.5 hours. I mean, it wasn't 45 minutes.
Right.
And so I go up to pick her up, and it's like, okay, well, you know, we're done. They go, well, no, you're not done yet. They said, in one of the email exchanges, I said that they could have her for a weekend for like 10 grand.
Uh-huh.
So they said that they would use that email as evidence unless, you know, I gave her to them for a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of protested to all this stuff, and they go, well, it's not completely what you think. He goes, we do these events periodically. And long story short, they invited us to just north of Miami, like 2 weekends later, where they had these parties. They're basically, I won't call them swinger parties, but they're not couples. They're like whatever network they're in. You know, I think it was like 15 guys and, you know, like probably 3 or 4 women.
Right.
And the women are just there to have sex with whoever they want, whenever they want. And I think, I didn't confirm this, but I think the other 3 that were there were probably prostitutes, not expensive ones.
Right, they hire them to come in, like a bachelor party, but this is more than that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, long story short is we drove to Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And spent the weekend at this party.
Uh-huh, and you got to go too.
I got to go too, but I mean, it's like I wasn't posing on have sex with any of the prostitutes, and all I really got to see was the fact that they all wanted to screw her, Stephanie.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it works is like, you know, anybody can just come out, okay, come on with me. So, you know, it was, you know, a lot of the time the other girls were kind of sitting there, and she was just going back and forth into different rooms with different guys. And, you know, she probably from Friday night through Sunday night had sex with each of the 15 guys and probably had sex with most of them at least twice and several of them 3, 4, 5 times.
Let me ask you this, because I had a guy call in recently who's dating a woman who she told him on her bucket list is to get like gangbanged by a bunch of dudes. So they've been going to swingers clubs, but she just chickens out all the time because she finds all the guys to be like really ugly. And she can't really get into it, you know? Were these guys at this party, like, good-looking?
They're very average.
But Stephanie's not really into, like, the looks thing. It's more she's into this, the naughtiness of it. So, like, I don't know, because she does it with lots of different kinds of guys, right?
Yeah, she wants the big, powerful, in-shape guy. And these guys, I think a lot of them were cops. I think I didn't clear them all. So I think they were... You know, they were like, you know, late 20s into their 30s kind of ages. They were in good shape. They weren't like the athletes.
Right, uh-huh.
Right, but they
but
were...
But this party's at a hotel?
Sorry?
The party was at a hotel?
No, it was at a house on the water down north of Miami.
Right, okay.
So it was a private residence, and uh-huh. It was away from everything. So,
right.
I mean, she spent most of the time, you know, in a bikini, right? It wasn't like, and so my job was, just, I mean, I was allowed to be there, and I was just wanted, you know, I kind of showed her to make sure she was safe and that kind of stuff, but, you know, I mean, she just would walk out in the room, guys would come over, they'd, you know, grab her ass, grab her tit, hold her thigh, and, you know, and off she'd go. And
right.
It was just, you know, it was pretty much nonstop,
mm-hmm.
nonstop sex. And, I mean, she is a machine. I mean, she can take very big dicks and she can kind of go forever.
Right. She likes that.
Yeah. And it wasn't, it's not like a, you know, to me, a gangbang is like, you know, when, you know, 10 people are standing around the bed and they just take turns. It wasn't that.
Right.
But it was definitely one after another constantly for days.
Uh-huh.
And she really didn't, you know, she would tell me some stuff. I got a few hours of sleep in the middle of the night, and she'd be like, yeah, that guy Benny had the biggest dick so far, and she gave me some of the stories. You know, but it was very, again, she was just sort of the, you know, the hot piece of new meat that everybody wanted. And, you know, she didn't really have any other purpose than whatever they wanted her for.
Right.
So that was really it. I mean, after that weekend, she really was like, you know, what am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm not having fun anymore. It's not bringing the two of us together. I'm not connecting with anybody. I'm not performing in a way that makes me feel good. They're just looking at me as a vessel and saying I want to fuck her. Right? That's all it was. Right.
Right.
And that got her into her, you know, her kind of, I need to think about this and I need to study. She goes off and studies all the time. It was her studying about, you know, how it's ridiculous for people to have sex with one person and you know, if you enjoy sex, you know, go for it. She found all those studies about women when they get into their 30s, and especially late 30s and into their 40s. It's not natural for them to have one partner. They start getting into their sexual prime and they want multiple partners. And she studied all that,
mm-hmm.
which got us on this road. So,
yeah, you know, a guy friend of mine at the gym recently told me that way. He goes, he's like a pharmaceutical sales rep dude, you know, and he goes to these big parties, you know, in someplace else. And, you know, everyone's like, leaves their partners at home. And he says the biggest cheaters on the place, like, this is how it goes. Like, the people that are cheating the most, like, or screwing the most, are the married women. Seriously.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's really the people that are getting it on the most, is the married women. The single people are the people fucking the least. Or I think he said that the engaged people are the ones that are screwing the least. But the most, the people that are screwing the most are the women, the married women, you know, because they're just so, yeah. like, bored of their husbands that they married in their 20s at that point.
Yeah, and that's what, I mean, she read all those studies and said, oh, okay, so,
right.
but I don't want to screw up my marriage,
mm-hmm.
and so if we enjoy this together, let's do it. I mean, it was her studying that got her there. Now,
mm-hmm.
her studying now turned into, I just call it returning to her roots and what it means to be a pious woman and,
oh,
you know,
God.
Giving yourself
really?
To God
she
and
went
all this
from,
stuff. And,
she went from that to that?
Yeah, she went. It's like she's always an extreme person.
Yeah, of
boy,
course.
But
that's how,
like,
that personality type
I just
is.
Fucked 15 guys for 3 days. Now I'm going to fuck no one ever. Right?
Yeah, of course. Like, that's how it goes. There's no in between with something like that, for sure.
Yeah, so it just and that's kind of been where we were. Now we have, there was one other event a couple of weeks ago. I've totally lost time because.
We're good on time. It was only 35 minutes. I like my podcast to be like 45 minutes at least.
Well, I mean, as far as last time I talked to you.
Oh, time. I thought you meant time.
Because,
with Nicole, yeah.
You know, kind of my thing, and literally, I mean, she won't have sex with me. And she won't give me a hand job. I mean, it's sort of like.
What does that mean? How did she get to that point?
Because she read that, you know, in the eyes of God, anybody you have sex with, you're actually married to, so you created a soul tie. And you know, you got to cleanse yourself from the soul tie, and you got to do all this stuff. And you know, a lot of the sex that we were having, even before we were marrying, was not good, right. And all the stuff we've been doing isn't right. So we got to cleanse all of that before we can get back into being a sexually connected couple. It's like, it's not like she never wants to have sex with me again, but we're cleansing ourselves, right?
Right.
And so, the only other thing was, you know, this is, I don't know, a couple of weeks after that weekend, and few weeks ago, you know, I was kind of giving her, like, you just did this cold turkey kind of thing. I said, you know, this is not really cool. I said, we need to talk about this. It's not just two people here. And so two things happened. I had sex with her, which was kind of uninspiring, because it was literally, she's just like, oh, okay, go ahead. And she was not her fun self. She just kind of lay there while I had sex.
Uh-huh.
And then she said that I can close my door by having her be with one more guy and I can watch, right?
What do you mean close the door? What does that mean?
Since I wasn't aware that this was happening, right?
Right.
And since I enjoy it and we had an agreement, if I want to go find a guy for her to have sex with and watch, she'll do it one more time.
Okay.
And so I'm sitting here kind of thinking to myself, well, what do I do? Well, that's a little bit like, you know, I'll do it for you if you really want me to. But at the same time, I'm going, well, I'm not getting any sex. And I kind of like watching it, so what the hell, right?
Yeah.
so it's really weird to me how things happen. And now that I'm having no sex and I'm kind of, you know, frustrated with her or whatever, I got a lot of these, you know, she loves it rough and whatever, and I'm back into, I want some big black guy to pound the hell out of her.
Right.
And as chance would have it, I go in, we go in to Starbucks one day a few weeks ago, and there is this black guy. I can't, when I say things are weird, I think, I really believe in the whole you manifest stuff. I mean, you think something and it happens, right? I walk in to Starbucks, there's this black guy sitting there, little table by himself. He's probably, I don't know, 6'4", 6'5", 250, 70 pounds of all muscle. He's a muscle builder guy. He's got a tight shirt on. His chest and arms are the biggest things I've ever seen. It was kind of weird and gross in a sense because he was sitting at this table. He had these really tight, almost spandex blue pants on and a black T-shirt. He was sitting there with his legs spread, totally, like, as wide apart as you can possibly sit.
Right.
And he had these blue pants on, so you could see his huge, humongous crotch. I mean, it was right there. I mean, it was just like, you couldn't miss it. And he's looking at his computer, right? He's looking at his laptop. He's not touching it. His arms are folded. And he's got these stickers all over the back of his laptop, and it's like mean stuff. It's got a Harley Davidson thing that's like, move over, get out of my way. Oh yeah, you try. It's like all these very aggressive, you know, vective kind of phrases.
Right.
I mean, this guy is looking like a scary guy.
Right.
So we had the coffee. We're standing over there, and we're about to go out. And I go, okay, I want you to have sex with him. And she goes, I really don't want to have sex with him. I go, that's why I want you to have sex with him. She goes, well, okay. And then she leaves. And I go over, and I say to him, I go, hey, I have something I want to ask you. And he says, that's something I want to ask you. And I go, what? And he goes, is there any way I can fuck your wife?
He brings it up. Yeah, I think people could smell other people from a mile away, like you say, manifest or whatever. But I think, you know, sometimes like attracts like. So if that's the kind of business you do and that's what he's looking for, sometimes people could just know stuff like that. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, yeah. So I came over to talk to you about
it. Right.
And he goes, yeah, she's hot as hell. I said, he goes, when can we do this? I go, when do you want to do it? He goes, like, well, like right now. I go, well, we got to get it. I said, let's not do it right now. And I said, I don't want you coming over. I don't want you getting involved in our house. So you, and I don't want to go to your house because that's not safe. So you go get a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And in a few hours, you tell us where you are and we'll come to you.
Right.
So he said, okay. And, you know, I guess, I mean, long story short is he was as mean and aggressive as his outfit and his computer.
As you thought, right. Did she like and that? Did she like that?
She likes that as a rule, but she's again at the stage now where she's, I'm not into this anymore.
Right.
So it wasn't the same as when Rodney or these, you know, the huge athletic guys were like into it, and she was like, you know, she was like the center of attraction with the celebrities, and it wasn't that. It was more like, you know, this mean ass guy is screwing me so my husband can get off.
Right.
It was more that it. Like when I was, and part of it was because, you know, when I was talking to him before I went out, he goes, I hope, he said, I hope she likes it rough because, you know, when I have sex, I have sex. And I go, she loves it rough. So bring it, you know?
Right.
And so, and it wasn't like, when we got into the hotel room, but of course I said, yeah, but but I'm going to watch because I don't care. And, it wasn't like rough as in, you know, he hit her, pushed anything like that, but he was true to the tight pants. I mean, it was as big as any of those other ones I ever saw. It was huge. It definitely was a challenge for her to take him. And you know, once he kind of got in and the action started getting going, I mean, he was very, very hard and very fast.
Right.
And, was on top of her, dwarfing her, his huge frame. He was grabbing her ass hard as he was, screwing her and pulling her hair when he was doing her from behind. And I mean, it was pretty intense. Which again, normally she would have gone, oh my God, that was great.
Right.
And that's the last time, which is probably 3 weeks ago, that she or I have had sex with anybody.
Right.
So
even
where
you,
we go from
even
here?
Even you.
Even me, yeah. I'm not having sex with her. I'm not having sex with anybody else. She's not having sex with anybody. I'm not getting any stories. We're in a desert right now.
Right.
And where we go from here, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think for sure with Stephanie, like, she goes through fate. Like, anybody with that kind of, like you said, she's so extreme, they're going to go through phases. Like, and I think it's just that she gets bored, probably. Like, she's just probably bored. Like you were trying to think of new things to make it exciting. Maybe it was the same thing for her. She was just, like, bored with it. So she's got to change it up, and she goes the exact opposite way. I'm sure, because you've been married to her for a long time, you know that eventually she's going to go back. She's going to go back. She's not going to stay in this way. She didn't even stay in the swinging way for that long. It's not like you guys have been doing this for years. You've been doing it maybe for a year. You definitely don't want her to be celibate for, a year. That's really a long time.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Kathy. As soon as she breaks her celibacy, you'll be the first one I call.
Yeah, you have, but I don't know that, Stephanie has a mind of her own. Like, she doesn't, she does what the fuck she wants. So it's like, you're not going to know when she's off that kick until she does, but she's a horny girl. And I think she really likes sex. And I just don't know that it's going to stick with her, the no sex thing. Do you know what I mean? Do you really think she's going to, that's going to be okay for her?
It's a really good question. The only reason I think that maybe, at least for a while, is because she's really big on saying that, she gave herself to God until she was like 20, 21.
Yeah, so isn't that enough?
Had sex with nobody because she knew that she shouldn't have sex with anyone until she was married, until her mother laughed at her.
Right.
And her boyfriend of 2 years was just pushing her, and all her friends were having sex, so she gave in.
Right.
And as I told you a long time ago, once she gave in, she was like, I have to sex every day. Either I'm not doing it or I'm doing it all the time.
Right.
So she's done, and now it's the other way. Now it's like, I'm not doing it at all. Now, will it last a week, a month, a year, 10 years, forever? I don't know.
I just don't understand her not having sex with you. Like, what, does she have to be baptized or some shit, and then she can have sex with you again? Like, you're married. Like, isn't that allowed in the Bible?
She's talking about adult baptism, so we can be reborn.
Oh,
she's
just you should do that. Do it in your backyard. Just get a bucket of water, hire a priest off of Craigslist, and just baptize her.
I am. I started doing that this week. I'm like, okay, fine. We'll get baptized. We'll say whatever prayers to break all the soul ties, and then we'll go home and have sex. That's fine. So we'll get there. The only reason that's not happening that fast is she's still kind of, the other thing about Stephanie, which is a negative thing that bugs the hell out of me, she never blames herself.
What do you mean?
She's sort of like this whole thing. Well, the only reason I ever did any of this, because you're my man and because you were on board. If you ever told me I don't want you to have sex with any other man, I never would have done any of this.
She's such a liar.
I know. It's like she's so... And I'm sitting there going, oh, okay, so you had nothing to do with it, it was all me. Well, you're the man, you should be the leader, and you know me, I'm a woman, I should be submissive to you, and if you tell me to have sex with another guy, I will. If you tell me not to, I won't. I'm like, when have you ever done what I've told you to do?
Right, no, Stephanie rules the roost. I mean, she's the one, you're not even banging other girls. You watch her fuck other guys, you set shit up, you like sit there and let her get pounded in front of you, and you don't even fuck other girls. So, I mean, she's really
I will tell you honestly, and for your listeners, depending on how fast it's changed, that could change.
Oh, really?
Because if I'm in a celibate relationship, and for the reasons that we've gone through.
Right.
And, you know, she's more like, you know, I don't know if I'll ever have sex with you again, or it could be a year. Well, then I'm going to like, okay, well, that doesn't work for me.
Right. And what do you think she'll do with that? Maybe that's the way. That's maybe a good way to get her back to banging you. Because would you do it secretly, or would you tell her?
To be honest with you, that's what I haven't figured out yet.
Right.
Because
like, would you lie
I know
about
she's
going
to say, she's going to do the whole, like, no, you caused this, we're in this together, we got to get clean, we got to dedicate ourselves to God, and only sex is going to be within this God-like marriage. So if you're not honoring that, and you're going to have sex with somebody else, well, then we can't be married anymore, which maybe that's where it'll end up. I don't know. But
I mean, she's going to just go off the deep end. That's like ridiculous. Yeah, you might have to lie, but I think, you know, I think if you talk to, I mean, you guys are pretty open sexually with each other, and you guys have done a lot of open things sexually with each other. So I think if you like really let her know that you do want to cleanse yourself and everything, but you guys, you do think like maybe you really need sex, and you're like hoping that she'll give it to you. Would she mind if you go get it someplace out? Like, I would feel her out first before you. Because why would she not let you? I don't know. She's a weird girl. Like, you, she might be like, okay, go fuck somebody else. I don't know.
Yeah, because I think she's going to stay true to her tenet, which is, if we're going to be a God-like couple, then I can't affect somebody else. Either.
You can't, right.
I can't. So.
Right, of course. All right. Yeah, oh, you're right. It's very anti-Jesus. I mean, not that I'm like anti-religion. I sound so terrible. It's not that. It's just that when people like her get into it, it's not really real. I don't believe it. Like, there are really religious people out there. Like, when somebody like what she's doing right now, it's just like some sort of weird phase, you know?
I agree. And I think it's really easy to get caught up in reading scripture and interpreting it your own way and coming to a conclusion.
It's just another phase. It's just a hobby for her. She's not really into it. It's bullshit. You got to suffer by not getting any kind of action just because she's in it. She basically rules your relationship. You do everything she wants to do. You're like her bitch. That's just the way that it goes. So probably she will not let her bitch go fuck other women. Like, no way. It's just that you can't change that dynamic. Do you understand? That's why she's with somebody like you, because you're passive to her aggressive. You're the guy that'll set shit up and she'll go fuck out. You can't be like, oh, now I'm going to be the one going out. You can't change that. You know, she didn't sign up for that. She won't put up with it.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
So that's what
so you'll have to cheat on her privately. And listen, you know, what I've learned and the sad fact is that cheating on women and getting away with it is very easy. Or cheating in general is pretty easy if you've got half a brain. I mean, you could cheat and not get caught. So if you really need to get ass on the side eventually, if it goes on for too long, you could always do that. But for now, I'd wait it out. Like I said, I'd do the exorcism or whatever you're doing with her, cleansing. You know what I mean? You cleanse all your shit and just get into it and just go with it for as long as you can and see when she's going to change her mind, because it basically, unfortunately, is going to have to be her decision. You know,
and when she changes her mind, you know how she is. She goes, she.
Yeah, it's gonna be. Oh my god, I can't even imagine what it's gonna be, because she's already fucked 15 guys. She's done the orgy. She's done the prostitution. She's done the black guy. She's done the celebrities. So you know, God knows what she's gonna need to get her off of God. Like, she's gonna need another.
And just think what a call that'll make.
Exactly. Well, I hope it's not next year. I hope we don't have to wait another like 8 months before you call back. Keep me posted. So, you know, because you're one of my regular callers, and you know, I'm sure Stephanie's going to be back in action before we know it. That's just my feeling. I just think she's too horny to give it up to God for too long.
I think you're right. So
all right,
I will
John.
Stay close, Kathy. I appreciate your listening to me and all your listeners.
I'm glad you called back. I think we thought we lost you. People had been writing in wondering where the hell you've been. So now we know. You're with God.
Hopefully,
you're with God.
Hopefully we'll be...
When you're done with God, you come back to the podcast, okay?
Very.
Talk to you
I
soon.
Will. Okay.
All right. Thanks, John. Bye. Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Do you have a story, lifestyle, or situation you can't talk about to anyone? To anyone? Or do you just want to let your freak flag fly and be on the show? Well, Strictly Anonymous wants to hear from you. Send us an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com, with your story and your anonymous name. And remember, everything is strictly anonymous.
Strictly anonymous.